Oh Lord Jesus, truly I can't do anything without your help, oh Lord, and I would like to humble myself before you right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I'm asking that I would just disappear and that you would appear here, Lord, and that you would truly show us, oh God, from your word and other examples that you would bring to mind, oh God, that you would help us to see and to hear and to understand your word, your truths set forth, oh God, and the things that we are to look for today in this world as signs of your coming, of your soon return. And we ask you, Father God, now that your Holy Ghost would reign here today freely and completely. Let your Spirit reign true, oh God. And I praise your holy name, oh God, and worship thee, oh God. Give you all the praise and the glory. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. For you are most welcome here today. Amen. Well, praise God. You know, I'm sure everyone today, now again, I want to... This is going to be part two, so I wanted to make mention of that, of my message from last week. Fear God and live is the name of the message, part two. And I know that I've been kind of taking some notes as various things as the Lord has been showing me, and I was just noting also how that this latest episode in the world that is everyone knows about now is that tsunami, that 8.9 magnitude earthquake. And it is interesting to know that that 8.9 magnitude quake shifted the whole planet on its axis by nearly 4 inches. The quake moved Japan 8 feet. The main island of Japan was moved over 8 feet. That to me is totally amazing. There are over 13,000 people missing, over 10,000, I believe, known to be dead. It is the worst quake in known recorded history. It's going to more than likely top over $30 billion in damages. And I know that the Tembler, I think this some of the aftershocks on Friday caused the formation of over walls of 30-foot waves crashing into Japan. I thought truly that was interesting to note. And as we read here today, I just kind of want to preface by going to Matthew 24, where it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, then what shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." See, today, we have false teachers, false preachers, money-hungry evangelists, TV evangelists worldwide, all looking to siphon and to steal and take from you and me. Not only are they robbing us of our money, they're robbing us of the true word of God. And it says here, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear the wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. We know today that we live in a world where false religions have arisen. We have men sneaking privily into churches, trying to bring in hearsay, false doctrines of every kind. I was listening to a man speak one time, and I took down some notes, and I just want to read those to you. 90% or more, and no doubt it's more, 90% or more Southern Baptist Convention deny their faith before they even graduate from college. 70 to 95% of all denominations leave and never return. 70% or more of all college professors believe in homosexuality. 85 to 90% believe in abortion. Over 70% believe in socialist and communist ideologies. These are only a few conservative figures on college campuses around about our country today. Not only is it in our college campuses, it's in our churches, our homes, grade schools, high schools. Islam is raging throughout the land. There are many false teachings and hearsays. There are many doctrines, false doctrines of every kind, and many the Schofieldism doctrines of the rapture theory and how that we're going to sneak away and get caught up and somehow we're going to miss this terrible event that's going to happen upon the earth during what they call a 7-year tribulation. Well, we're already in it. It's too late for that. We're already there. And you have these false teachers bringing in these false hearsays and teachings about once saved, always saved doctrines. How that you can just do anything you want once you're saved. You just raise your hand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just raise your hand. I see one there, I see one there, I see one there. Now you're saved. No. It does not work that way at all. We know that God looks upon the heart of all men and women, seeking whom? Those who would worship him in spirit and in truth. Seeking those who would yield completely their lives over to him. Seeking those with a true heart of true repentance, godly sorrow, meet unto godly repentance. And God knows who they are. There's only a remnant. We know that today, the world over, people think that they're going to heaven. They think that they can get there by good works. They think that they can get there by being a good person. Or by saying enough rosary beads. Or saying enough prayers. Or walking on their knees up some steps of some cathedral. Or laying on a bed of nails. Or doing all these things that they think they can earn their way into heaven. It won't work that way. Never has. Counterfeit Christians are everywhere, practicing counterfeit religions, counterfeit ideologies, masking and feigning to be a brother or sister in Christ. We know that false worldly sorrow leads to death. Amen? We already know that. But one thing I know that we also must remember and consider in our lives. If we are to make it, truly, if we are to make it, we must die to ourselves so that Jesus Christ can resurrect himself in our hearts. and live. Over 150,000 people slip into eternity every day. I said 150,000 plus people slip into eternity every day. Hell breaks wide open, doesn't it? Very few find it, that narrow road, the Bible says. That narrow road that leads to life. We know in Matthew 7, 21, 23, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." See that the Lord says, those that do his will. He didn't say those that read his will, those that do his will, those that obey. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" Wow. Well, how many TV evangelists have you seen today and in your past who have pushed people over and spoke all these flowery messages to people that, "Oh, my people, how I'm proud of you. I love thee today," and all this and all that. Well, you see, it's false prophecies. Many of those are false because it's void of warning. It's void of real context. We live in a society today where people live on sound bites. People live on hearsays, void of context, void of true spiritual meat. Void of understanding and wisdom. All of that is voided out because they don't fear God. They haven't given their lives completely over to God. And it says here, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Well, many people think they're going to get to heaven by doing works, don't they? That just won't cut it on that day. It won't cut it on judgment day. "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So we know that those who do and believe such things is what the Lord calls iniquitous. And there are many out there who think that you can fake it till you make it. They think that you can just be who you think you want people to see you as, but you're really not living the life. You can't fake it till you make it. There's no such thing. I remember when I was going to this church, when I first became a Christian up in northern Minnesota, Grand Rapids, and one lady was up there, and she's a good friend of mine now today. They've come around. They've grown up too. They've come around. They've come a long ways, as have I. But I remember her being up there telling everyone, "You can fake it till you make it." I think it was just a cute cliche, actually, but she's not that way now, thank God. I know that there's also a pastor in Minnesota, a prominent pastor, recently said that we should start calling God Allah because we want to be accepted and approved of our Muslim brethren. We want to be respected of them. That's a terrible thing. And that, to me, is blasphemous in the face of God. There is false emergent churches rising up, trying to bring in and seduce people with hearsays and yoga practices. And you know what yoga means, don't you? It means a yoke or union with Hindu gods. It's a 2,000-year-old practice meant to tear down your mind and your personality or the thinking process, so as to become a part of an impersonal universe of Hinduism. The goal of yoga is to become one with the universe and the cosmos. That world is an illusion, a state of nothingness. All is one, all is God, and God is impersonal. It is a complete denial of one absolute God. And I've taken some notes on this because there's so much that I was trying to jot down. And here, I wrote a note here too about yoga. And that any yogi will tell you that yoga was designed to open you up to the spirit world. A world of Hindu spirits, which really is demon spirits. In 1 Timothy 4:12 it reads, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." You see, these things are going to be, they are unacceptable. And when he comes back, they're going to be unacceptable too. In the fire of God's eyes, the fire of his judgment, that will not be acceptable at all. He will come back with a vengeance. Psalm 19:13-14 says, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Is that our prayer today? Are we asking the Lord to let the meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth, be acceptable to God? Are we praying that every day? Because we know that without fear, and that's the context of my message today, is fear. Fear God and live. Without fear of God, people become blind, deaf, and people without wisdom and knowledge. They don't understand the knowledge of the holy. India's basic understanding and concept of God is pantheism. I'm a God, the trees are God, the dirt, the moon, the stars, that fence post over there, that's a God. And in Hinduism, men and women are brought down to the level of nature. There are over 1,000 million people living in India, more than Africa, South America, and Australia combined. There are over 3 billion rats in India. Over a third of their grain crops are eaten and destroyed by these rats, who are given milk to drink because they believe that they are someone's relatives, their uncle or dad, who have been reincarnated and come back to life as a rat. Mother Teresa, who worked in Calcutta, India, once said, when we come to God, we become better Hindus, better Muslims, better Catholics and Buddhists." Mother Teresa thought that she could get to heaven by works, didn't she? She once said, "I have spent my whole life doing good works, yet I feel empty." And 2 weeks before her death, CNN did an interview with her. And she said, "I hope I have done enough good works so God will allow me into heaven. But Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God won't give glory to some man for doing their good works and deeds. It doesn't work that way. What an insult to God. What an insult to the cross of Calvary. No, it doesn't work that way. That's why we are to guard our hearts and minds against the deceptions of the enemy, against the devil, against all those hearsays. Truly, the devil is at work, but in the end, the devil loses. He loses out. And if we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So when the devil tries to plant evil thoughts and words into your mind and heart, we must do everything we can to replace it with the thoughts and words of God through His Bible, through His Word. Think upon good thoughts, good things, things that are worthy of being thought about. I know we all have issues. We all have struggles and fights. We all have problems that we have to work through in our life. And we know that there are libraries out there, and we know that Borders has closed over 200 stores throughout the country. But we know that there are many bookstores out there who sell self-help books, but there's no self-help books that will help you, truly help you. Only the Bible will help you. And the words in that Bible, the words of Jesus, will set you free, and you will be free indeed. For God's mercy does many things, so people will fear His name and sin not. In Deuteronomy 4:10, I want to read, especially that day, or the day that you stood before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me, the people, together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. But what are children being taught today? The children today are being taught to sit in front of a TV, to play games all day long with their computers, iPods, messagings, all these things, people getting killed on the highways and freeways and otherwise, and all these little games and toys that people are taught to play these days, and not having the ability to reason or think properly. But God's words are life to those who fear God. It's foolishness to those that perish. In Exodus chapter 20:20, it reads, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, that His fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. In other words, the Lord is coming back to test, to try, and to prove you and me. He's going to test and try our hearts through various situations and circumstances in our life. It could be people rising up against us. It could be health problems. It could be monetary problems of any kind. But the Lord is testing us and proving our faith. The Lord is wanting us to step out and just give everything and yield everything over to Him. But the Lord also is testing each individual to see who will rise up, who will be that brother and sister, who will have empathy and compassion and love towards another? Who will help bear another's burdens by praying for someone, by helping, by encouraging, by doing this and doing that for them? It's all a part of the plan. It's all a part of what it means to be a Christian. But he's also going to prove our ways. He's going to prove the path that we walk upon. And he's going to show us that the one way, the true way, is the narrow way. But that one true way, narrow way, is also a lonely way. It's a separated way. It's a holy way. It's a way only that the redeemed will walk. That way will separate us from friends and family, from people we've once knew. It will separate us because we find ourselves on a path that only we will be accountable for before God on that judgment day. No one else. We can't blame anyone. We can't point fingers. We can only look in the mirror. But that's good. That's the responsible way. That's the way of accountability. That's the way of maturity, of understanding. That's growth. That's God's way. God expects us to live up to his word, to line up with his word. Matthew, or rather in Psalms 119, verses 119 and 120, it says, "Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies." That's God's word. "My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments." You see, David trembled for fear at God's judgments. Are we doing that in our lives? Do we fear God, and are we willing to work out our salvation with fear and trembling before God? Because it's commanded in the Word of God to do so. What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom, don't they? They despise instruction. They despise the right way and the good way. They despise those who walk on that path. They hate those who live righteously. Because when you live next to someone and their own life is illuminated, if I can use that word, illuminated next to yours, their own ways are dark. Their ways are evil and wicked. They're afraid of being brought to the light. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it is the knowledge of the holy. It is the understanding to them that do his commandments. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 32 and 33, it reads, "He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." The Bible says, "He that hears reproof getteth understanding." There's a big difference. Today, people hear, but they don't hear. People see, but they don't see. People feign to understand, but they really don't understand. Things go in one ear and out the other. Things go over their head. It can't penetrate their heart because they don't understand. They lack understanding because they truly do not fear God. And when you don't fear God, you're not going to submit or yield your life to Jesus Christ. It's going to be evident in your life. It's going to show up sooner or later. You can only feign and make believe and fake it for only so long before God begins to manifest, begins to show up, begins to reveal, begins to show people understanding. It doesn't take long in one's life. We only live here for a short period of time, and that's not very long. But in verse 33, it reads, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." In other words, to walk in the light and truth of Jesus. God's instruction for wisdom is to fear God and live. It means to come out of the world, and it means to separate yourself from this world system. It means to separate yourself from all that you know to be in this lifetime. It means to separate yourself from the TV, sometimes even the radio. Not always, but depending on what you're listening to. But definitely, the ways of Babylon has her fingers in every area of your life and my life. There are traps and snares through it. In Psalms chapter 15, 1 through 5, it reads, "Lord, who shall abide in the tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart." That's the person. The one that has no guile. The one where there is no deception. What you see is what you get. You're not trying to hide. You're not trying to be someone that you're not. You are known and read of all men. The truth will come out. The truth will be known and seen and read. There's nothing to hide. You don't have to worry about doing that. But only those who lie, because they always have to lie to cover up another lie, to cover up another lie. That's all about deception. "He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor." Wow. That's a mouthful, ain't it? "In whose eyes a vile person is contempt, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not." In other words, these aren't double-minded folks. These aren't people who don't know how to say what they mean and mean what they say. They're not double-tongued, forked-tongued, or double-minded in any way. "He that putteth not out his money for usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved." That's why there's strength in fearing God and having great faith in his ability to deliver each one of us from every situation in our lives. We don't have to sit there and wonder and worry and fret and be concerned over whether or not God is going to deliver us from out of these situations. We know that he's an ever-present time of help in time of trouble. We know that. God has promised us in his word that he will come to our aid. He will help those. He draws nigh to them that fear him and tremble at his word. That's God's way. In Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of his, right, and strength of salvation, that the fear of the Lord is his treasure." So, when you think about that, where is your treasure? Is it hidden in your hearts? It is a strength unto salvation. That is the fear of God, that they might live forever. Fearing God is the key to repentance. In Psalm chapter 19, verse 7 through 14 reads, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." You see, fearing God converts the soul. Fearing God will cause you and me to live forever. in righteousness. And in verse 8 it reads, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. God opens your understanding and mind, doesn't he? We don't have to go to some psychic where they will read our tarot cards and give us psychic readings and read your palms and read your eyes and all these things that the devil has conjured up to replace what God has written in his word. And we don't have to worry about having all these little concerts in our church, the drums beating a different drum. We don't have to worry about all these little entertainments, because that was all meant to replace the Spirit of the living God. We know that the Spirit of the living God does not need all these trinkets. All the Spirit of God is looking for is you and me. It is what it is. That is the reality of it all. In verse 9 it says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So the fear of God is perfectly clean, pure, holy, righteous and true, full of faith, full of understanding and wisdom. That's the fear of God. In verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. It is priceless. You can't replace it. You can't find another backdoor way to God. There's only one way. That is through Jesus. But to get to Jesus, you must humble yourself. You must fear God that you would live. And in verse 11 it reads, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We read that earlier. Fearing God is to love and honor God, is to give yourself over to the Lordship of Jesus in your life through everything. Not just a little bit here and a little bit there. I'm talking everything in your life. It's a complete and total surrender. Nothing wavering. Nothing holding back. But presumptuous sins and rebellion will stop that. Presumptuous sins are wicked and evil in the sight of God. But what does the Lord require of us? What is it in the Word of God that tells us what does the Lord require? If we go to Deuteronomy chapter 10, 12 through 13, it says, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. So there's nothing wrong with a little bit of discipline. There's nothing wrong with fearing God. There's nothing wrong with some child being spanked. There's nothing wrong with people being rebuked and reproved. if it will get them back in the right direction, if people will be helped. God means it for our good. The Lord requires it of us to obey His ways, to walk in His ways. And the Lord instructs us further by going to Deuteronomy chapter 10, 18 through 21. It says, He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. So, I don't know about you, but if you've ever had a stranger come upon you and in your midst or around you, how did you treat him or her? In verse 20 it says, Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name, to be ever loyal, faithful, and true to God. There's only one way. Verse 21, it says, He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things, which thine eyes have seen. So we're to give glory only to God. We're to be grateful to God. We're to be respectful of God, to honor God. To not hold back praise and worship from Him. For it's the right thing to do. We don't need to tempt God or rebel against His commandments. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15, it says, Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served, on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Wow. When you think about that, on the other side of the flood, how that God threw away our sins into the sea of forgetfulness, that we might live, that we would be redeemed, that we would be accounted worthy, that we would be in the fold, part of the family of God, redeemed, blood-bought. But are we hid in Christ? And have we died to sin? Those who have died to sin have done so, so that Jesus would rise up in their hearts, would be resurrected in their lives and live. The question I have is, are we hid in Christ? That is our true treasure. Are we drinking in the pure waters of the Word of God from the throne of God as they come forth? Or are we giving lip service? Joshua chapter 24, 15 reads, And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me, and my house, we will serve the Lord. In other words, what he's saying is, we must get that matter settled in our hearts. Settle it now before it's too late. There are many gods and many idols, groves, dens, witchcraft of every kind. But I believe true fear will always lead to obedience. True fear causes one to repent from all evil. It loves the Lord. True fear is knowledge and wisdom. It hates sin. True fear is content. True fear finds that hidden treasure. True fear leads to salvation. True fear brings healing, faith, hope, understanding, love, peace, and true humility. True fear does many things in our lives. True fear. Fear God and live today. While there's still yet today. While there's still time. In Psalm chapter 25, verse 12 through 15, it reads, "What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth." In other words, it says, his soul shall dwell at ease. I'm reminded of Psalm 23, how that they are beside still waters, green fields. Their soul dwells at ease. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. I believe that is finding true salvation. That covenant between us and the Lord. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Amen. And in Matthew chapter 13, 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure, hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy there he goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. That is salvation in Jesus. Who is heaven? What is that treasure? It's Jesus. That's what it is. Are we hiding that in our heart? Are we hiding God? Are we hidden Jesus? Are we hidden Christ? Are we walking, talking, living testimonies, attributing everything to the Lordship of Jesus? Are we given over to his word, his spirit? Are we walking in the light of his truth, wisdom, and understanding? Proverbs chapter 2, 4 through 5 reads, "If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God." That is the knowledge of the Holy God. Understanding to fear God and live. Fear God and live. That's what we must do. That's our job. That's one of our requirements while we're here on earth. For those who do not fear God, a whip will be laid to their backs on that day. They will be thoroughly punished. But those who have not heeded God's word, who have wholly ignored God, who have walked away from God, who have mocked God, will have no excuse on that day. But only the fury of God's eyes will be upon them. Isaiah chapter 66, 4 through 5. "I also will choose their delusion and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not." So where is the church today? Where is the church out there? Where are people rising up, admonishing, encouraging, reproving sin, encouraging people to live right, talking about homosexuality and abortion and all the evils out there. Where are the men and women of God today that will rise up? Where are the men and women of God today who have the Spirit of God in them that will not be afraid to reprove sin in our lives, in our country, in our community, who will say, woe unto you for doing this and for doing that, for calling good evil and evil good? Where is that righteous indignation? When will we rise up and be men and women of God who will no longer wink at sin, as God will not wink at sin himself? If we live in the Spirit of God, we will exemplify and exhibit God's Spirit in our lives. That is how it is. In verse 5, it reads, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. God gives us ears to hear. It says, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. When we fear God, we're going to hide his word in our hearts. When we fear God, we're going to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're not going to go to some bookstore looking for self-help books. We're not going to go to some psychic. We're not going to go call someone on the phone and always ask endless questions. We're going to dig ourselves into the Bible. We're going to get on our knees and we're going to search things out. And we're going to do so with fear and trembling, knowing that the time is short, knowing that our day might be tomorrow. Our day of visitation might be now. Are we ready? Are we making plans? Are we doing all we can to understand God's word, to fear God, to not take nothing for granted, to not be presumptuous? Isaiah 66, again. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots, like a whirlwind to render his anger, with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. That will be a day so overpowering, people won't know what happened. It will be a swift victory for Jesus, for all those who have lived according to his righteousness. It will be a day of reckoning for those who have mocked God, who have disobeyed the gospel, who have led a life full of thievery, anarchy, deception, who have lived a life that all they wanted to do was lie and to steal just to get their way, because they lived in selfishness and wantonness. They lived in a way that all they cared about was their own flesh, saving their own flesh, not willing to die, not willing to die to the sin of this world, to the devil, to sin, death, and hell. What are they giving up? All they're doing is storing up that damnation for the future. That's all they're doing. And in verse 16 it reads, for by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh. And the slain of the Lord shall be many. Many means majority. There is no weaponry made with human hands that will have any effect against God on that day of any kind. Proverbs chapter 19 through 23, or 19, verse 23, it reads, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. That's where I got the title of my sermon, Fear God and Live. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Fear God and live, folks. The Lord will be your friend if you will. He'll help you. He'll be with you. He won't let your foot slip. He'll hold your hand. He'll pull you out of that muck and mire. He'll help you up when you feel like you're drowning. God's mercy is still true today as it ever was. But do we fear God? Do we love Him enough to fear Him? In Revelation chapter 11, 18 through 19, it reads, "And the nations were angry." In other words, this is the full wrath of God is going to come upon these nations. The full wrath. And it says, "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Only a remnant will be saved." Only a remnant. And it says here, them that destroy the earth. You know, there's much going on that we do to pollute this earth, don't we? All this nuclear waste, all the fishes in the seas, the birds of the air, the animals, all the pollutants, all the chemicals, all this stuff that we put in our food, our air that we breathe, the water that we drink, the ground that we plant food in is being destroyed because of man. Where did it come from? From the devil. From the Garden of Eden, when sin was introduced by that snake, the devil, who coerced Eve into believing a lie and then justifying that lie. Its sin also began when rebellion from Satan himself, when he thought that he would be God and he wanted to be in that place where God was. But God threw him out of heaven like lightning. And it says here, "And them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. God's word will go forth and judge every man's work." God's word, voices and lightnings and thunderings and earthquake and great hail. To fear God is to live. To fear God is to love his testament. What is that testament? It is to fear God. His testament is His word, His spirit. They agree as one. What are you and I doing today? All those who are listening in, what are you doing with your lives? What are we doing to get ready? There's not much time left. Time is even at the door. The time of our reckoning, the time of judgment, is even now at hand. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back very soon now. We know that people are asleep in this country and all over the world, sound asleep. And all these earthquakes, even the most notable to date, the one that took place in Japan, people are still asleep. What will it take? What will it take for people to finally wake up? For many, it will be too late. For many and most, the majority, when they wake up and they find themselves staring at eternity, they're going to wonder and they're going to be very surprised that they're even there. Many will be shocked and they will try to knock on the door and ask God to let them out, to help them, but it'll be too late. Because they rejected that opportunity when they had a chance while they were still living. That's why today is a day of salvation. Don't let it go to waste. We need to find ourselves in prayer. We need to find ourselves before God, pouring out our hearts and minds and souls, our spirit before God in prayer and supplication. Cry if you must, but get on your knees and get before God while there's still time. We don't know when our day of reckoning will be. You and I don't know if today will be our last day. We don't know that. Nothing's guaranteed in this earth. The only guarantee we have is that there is a judgment. And that judgment is coming soon. Some to righteousness and some to unrighteousness. So let's be ready. And with that, why don't we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you, O God, for your mercy, for your grace, for your word, for your testimony. O Lord, for making a way where there seemed to be no way. For your great mercy, O God, and for your grace that you have sought to save and to seek after those who might repent and believe and turn away from sin, O God. That they would come unto thee and to learn of thee and to sin not. O God, your mercy. Who can understand it, O Lord? It is beyond our scope of understanding. It is beyond our ability to comprehend. But Lord, you are true. Let every man be a liar, God, but you are true. We know that. You are the one true God. And Lord, we pray now that if there are those who don't know you, even today, even at the hearing of my voice, O God, that those who would be listening in would be pricked in their hearts and challenged today to take a good look in the mirror. That they would look in the mirror and find any area of their life that they need to give over to you. That they would completely submit that unto thee, O God, even now, even today. Nothing wavering and holding back at all. That we would put our hands to the plow and not look back. For those that do, O Lord, we know are not worthy of thy kingdom. Help us then, O Heavenly Father, now to yield our lives completely. Yield completely unto thee. As Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? That is my cry now, who is on the Lord's side? And all those that would give their lives to Christ today, not tomorrow, today is on the Lord's side. Don't wait. You don't have to be coerced or manipulated. Let God lead you. Let God direct your footpath. Let God instruct you. Let the Lord Jesus convict you of sin. Don't ignore it. And we give you all the praise and the glory, O Heavenly Father, today. We thank you for your mercy, for your grace. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for what you did on the cross of Calvary, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and how that you died for our sins, and how that we could find mercy and grace at the foot of thy cross, and how that we could walk with great humility and understanding and wisdom, O God, and how that we could give our lives to thee, and that you could take over, how that we would die to this life, die to the sin, death, and hell, that you would come in and resurrect your life in our lives, O God, that we would live forever. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Praise God.